Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Are you ready to praise Jesus? All right, why don't you stand up? Come right up to the front of the altar. We're going to give God our best this morning. Amen. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. No other name that can save, deliver, and restore.
Family, how are you? Hi. Well, I'm excited that you're here. Hi, I'm Presley. If you don't know me, I am one of the students here at Redmond Bible College, and I'm here to give you your announcements. So first, guys, if you are a guest in here, welcome. We love you. We're so thankful that you're here, and we have a special room just for you after service. So on my left, your right, we have our Connect room. That's where you can go. You can get connected, as in the name, and you get to learn more about our family here, our church, and we get to love you, and we get to tell you more about Jesus. Next, we have Discover Class. Has anybody gone to Discover Class in here before? I haven't, but... So Discover Class, it's a four-week class that happens at 9:30 during first service. It's over in the same room as the Connect room. And third, we are doing our Easter candy drive right now. Guys, Easter's coming up. And we need a lot of candy because we are going to bless a lot of people. Not just the kids, but the adults too. Sneak peek. I don't know if I was supposed to say that. But go ahead. Go ahead, donate your candy, bring it in. It's a seed, and we love you. And guys, why don't you welcome with me Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it crazy? I think he was 8 or 9 years old when he first started coming here. I don't want to say anything, but maybe I'm maturing a little. You were one? Wow. Okay. I had nothing else to say. Yeah, we're moving on. It's been a great week. God is good. Amen. Amen. How many of you love Jesus? God is faithful. God is true. The word is truth. And that's who we are. We are believers. We are built different. Turn to somebody and say, I've been built different. I've been built different. That's right. You're a child of the living God. We're not church folk. We're sons and daughters of the King. And today's a great day to serve Jesus with all of your heart. And today when we worship, don't worship halfway, worship all the way. Worship like you would if you were standing before Jesus Christ himself, which you are, by the way. But don't give half, give all. He deserves it all, amen? He's worthy. Jesus is good. Father, we just want to say we love you this morning. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God, we ask that you'll fill this room. Lord, it means nothing if you're not here. It means nothing if you don't move. It means nothing if you don't speak. So God, we stand firm and declare that today will be a day that we are changed. Today will be a day that we experience you. Today is a day that we will hear a word from you. Today is a day that our life will be changed by you. Heal the sick, save the sinner, deliver those that are oppressed. We release the anointing to do the work of the kingdom in Jesus' name. Lord, fill your house with people hungering and thirsting after you. We love you. We need you. We're running after you because you are a great God. And we love you so very much. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, yeah. Let's worship.
Save, deliver, and restore. Oh, Jesus the same. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I am still,
I'm still in your hands.
This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Oh, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands. Oh, this is my confidence. You have never failed me. Oh, you've never failed, and you never will. No, you never will. Seen you move, you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move, Jesus, you move the mountains, and I believe. Come on and just declare it out with all faith. Just lift your hands. Sing to the healer. Sing to the only one that can move that mountain. Come on and just lift it up. Oh God, I've seen you move. You move the mountain. And I believe I'll see you do it.
You move the mountain. Bow down before your throne. See your face, I'll cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And Jesus, King of Kings, Jesus. For eternity, join the song they're already singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Oh, just to bow down,
just to bow down before your throne.
See your face.
Glimpse of glory, we'll sing once more, worthy.
Jesus, majesty.
We love you, Jesus.
Jesus, King of Kings. Jesus, majesty.
I don't care how old you are in Jesus, you can always know more. Amen. And I think through all the events that we as a family have been through over the last period of time, I think sometimes as Bishop preached last week, Pastor Andre and I were talking about it yesterday, you get greater revelation or unveiling of heaven. You know, you've heard me quote this verse many times, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I remember when Pastor Rhonda was telling us all, and she told me first, way back over a year ago, when she was in the hospital, when they operated on her, she lost 9 units of blood. And that was during COVID. No one's allowed to see her. So I was at a hotel down the road and didn't really know. I just praying and you all praying. And then she shared with me, she said, one day I got up and my body was just tired. She said, the surgery and all the things that were happening, my physical body was just tired. And then she said, they had me on so much medication, my soul was disengaged. And she said, all of a sudden, out of my spirit, I heard, put on praise and worship. And it took everything for her to reach behind her, grab her phone, and put on praise and worship. And she said something that day that didn't mean as much then as it does now. She said, the moment that the praise and worship came on, her spirit stood up. I want to remind you that you are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. You are a spirit person. God created you and I in his image. This week's been a little bit of a challenging week because I'm recognizing her spirit being gone out of the house. It's not physical body. Boy, what a revelation. When you get this, you worship different. It's not just her physical body. Her physical body's not at the house, but her physical body hadn't been at the house probably in 6 to 8 weeks anyways. But her spirit is no longer on this planet. And my physical house is now a home. Excuse me. My physical home is now a house because it's empty. Not empty from me, not empty from Jesus, but her spirit is no longer there. And all of a sudden, as I'm getting this thing, and you know, you've seen me, and I've taught it before, is sometimes you see me go like this. Because I want to remind you that heaven is dimensional. That's why Jesus could walk through a wall when he went to the upper room. That's why he could be here and then ascend. It's spiritual. We become so natural-minded, we forget that the spirit is more real than the natural man. And then when we come to church on a Sunday, God says, I'm looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. We sing the words, but our spirit man is not engaged. We're singing out of our cognitive mind. We're singing out of obligation. We're not singing at all because we can't even handle our own voice. But what God, he's not interested in any of that. What God is interested in is spirit to spirit. And that comes through you and I grasping that you are more of a spirit than you are of a natural body. And when you engage your spiritual man, it literally changes how you worship because no longer does this matter. It's just you and him. And I want to challenge you to start asking the Holy Ghost to give you a revelation of your spirit man. that you and I will really grasp that, listen, our physical bodies, they are here. Yep, they hurt sometimes. We overexert ourselves sometimes. We get tired. Even Jesus got tired. But the real you that's going to live for eternity is not your physical body. It's your spirit, man. The Bible says physical exercise profiteth little. Didn't say it didn't profit anything, but it profits little. But we're to exercise our spiritual man, where the Holy Spirit lives. And I know some of you, I'm talking French, but that's okay. If I deposit it when you need it, he'll bring it. So in the deposit, you need to say, Jesus, I need a revelation of my spirit man. With Pastor Rhonda, he stood up. With me, it's step in. I don't know what it is with you, but there's no question that there's a different realm that is more real than the realm we dwell in. And if we're just through cognitive dissonance, just simply singing out of our head, then we're missing worshiping out of our spirit. And I would challenge you to ask God to give you that revelation. Because if you get it, you can't just stand there. You can't pick your nose or pick your friend's nose. You can't say, are they done yet? They sang that verse 4 times. You know you're not in spirit at all if you can tell how many times they sing that verse. That's the truth. Because when you step in, it's no longer about words. Watch this. It's about presence. Ooh. That's why in heaven, I remember as a child, I always said, man, I don't want to go to heaven. All we do is sit around the throne and worship all the time. That sounds boring. But when you understand spirit, it's not even music. It's presence. And when you're there, everything changes. Because time is suspended. Your personal desires are suspended. Your mind is arrested. And you're just lost in him. I don't know about you, but we got to learn to get lost in him. This world don't need a bunch of Christianettes. This world needs people that understand God and can truly step in, especially during turmoil, because he is the Prince of Peace. Jehovah Shalom. Shalom doesn't mean just peace. When you break down that word, it's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. But it's only, come on now, it's only when you're in that there's nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. When you're worshiping out of your head, you're still thinking about how many times they sang it. Boy, I got a lot of things to do today. Man, that person didn't put deodorant on. You can think of a lot of things. But when you're in, you're in. I challenge you to get in. Because as we've experienced, the physical doesn't last as long as we want it to. But the spirit lasts for eternity. Focus more on your spirit than just your body. Amen. And then you'll be able to get into a worship service like this, and it's not like, yep, okay. Are they done yet? When you're there, you're not only cheating God, you're cheating yourself. Get in the spirit. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And only in that location, spirit and in truth, can you touch the hem of his garment and remain where he is. It's a new place. I challenge you to go there with me. It's a great place because there is fullness of joy. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. We got a lot to do, and I got a great sermon. So we're going to forego meet and greet this morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are you today? My name is Minister Mackenzie. I'm super excited to be talking about the tithes and offerings with you. Yes, I look pregnant. We can get over that fact today. But please put your attention on Jesus, especially during worship. I don't want you guys to be like, whoa, baby. Like, no, it's about Jesus, please. All right, so I'm going to talk to you about the tithes and offerings today. I love this portion of the service because the teaching really changed my life, changed the way that I live, changed the way that I think about finances. So I was looking through the story of the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Put your hand up if you're familiar with that story. Yeah, so Jesus was preaching and he was walking and there were thousands of people that were following him. And he looked back and had compassion on them because they were hungry and because there's entire families that are following him out into the desert. And he said, wow, they must be very hungry. And the disciples looked at him and they said, do you want us to go back into town and buy them food? So that just proves right there that Jesus was not poor. If you can buy food for 5,000 people, you're not walking around lowly with rags. You have supplies. But he said no, and a little boy was walking by, and he noticed that the little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Say 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the little boy gave it to Jesus. He gave all of it to Jesus. And Jesus did 2 things. He thanked God and blessed it and then broke it and started handing it out. What I thought was absolutely amazing about that story is that, one, Jesus gave thanks to God for the little that he had first. So we can look at what we have in our bank account. We can say, oh my gosh, I feel like I don't have anything. I feel like I can't pay my bills. I feel like I can't feed my family. I feel like I have no plans to even get ahead or go on vacation or even enjoy life. But we have to have an attitude of thanksgiving when we want the miracle working power of God to work. Amen. The word says that you have to cast all of your cares and anxieties on him because he cares for you. So God doesn't work in a spirit of worry. He works in thanksgiving. That's where his presence is, right? The word says that when you praise God and when you thank God that you're able to enter his courts. So that's the first thing, is that Jesus had an attitude of thanksgiving. The second thing is that when you look at how many people the Lord was able to feed with that 5 loaves and 2 fish, it was an absolute miracle. But the boy had to let it go to begin with. Right? He had to give what he had, which was a very little amount, and he gave it to Jesus. And I love that because Jesus was able to do so much more with the little that he had than what that little boy could do. I don't know where that little boy was going. I don't know why he had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, but he chose to put it into the hands of Jesus. And because of that, an amazing miracle happened. 5,000 families were fed. And I love this because the month that we're in right now, we're celebrating Love Different, right? Love Different, we're celebrating the fact that we are able to love people in our community, in our church body, in our family. The word says that the world is supposed to be able to identify Christians by the way we love each other, right? So if we're going to complete that mission and be the love of Jesus in this world, we've got to learn how to give what we have to Jesus so that he can multiply it. Right? The fact is that Jesus can do so much more with the little that we have than what we can do ourselves. It's 100% facts. So I have a little bit of a testimony, and I love being able to do tithes and offerings because I always have a testimony when I have to do this. It's so cool. My husband is here. Hey, babe. Hey, babe. So I'm going to throw him under the bus really quick. We got in a little bit of a car accident. It was totally fine. Not that big of a deal. But because I am a tither, we're both tithers and we're sowers, he called me and he said, oh my gosh, I just got into a car accident. You know, he wasn't freaking out. He was just like, you know, I just got into a car accident. And I didn't freak out.
I said, okay, where are you? I'm coming to pick you up. We went out. We got lunch. We did all the insurance stuff. It was completely fine. I didn't freak out because God has proved to us over the last 2.5 years that he's got our back no matter what. So there's no reason for me to freak out, especially about finances. It's so easy because I'm a tither. So I'm not going to tell you the amount that we got back for our 12-year-old car, but it was stupid. It was actually dumb. You don't get back that amount of money for a 12-year-old car. You just don't. It was exceedingly and abundantly above what we needed. So now we were able to stash some in our savings for our baby and get a brand new car for our family, which is absolutely amazing. Yes. What I said, first of all, was just about giving, but this is specifically about tithing. So tithing is like a heavenly insurance policy. Does that make sense? So I didn't freak out, one, because I'm a tither, but two, because I pay my insurance company to make sure that when we get into these situations, they can take care of it. And the word says that if you give him just 10%, if you only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, when you enter into tithing, he's not asking even for all of that. He's asking for like a piece of bread. He's asking for 10%. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. That means you don't have to wake up at night wondering where you're going to scrounge up this money. You don't have to freak about where your rent payment is going to come from. And I know that a lot of us in here have been in that situation, but he's asking for that 10% tithe policy. It's not so that the church can get richer. It's not for any of those reasons. It's for you to enter into a covenant with him. And if we weren't tithers and we weren't sowers, we would not have gotten that amount of money back, I promise you, because insurance companies don't like to give ridiculous amounts of money to people for no reason. But because we entered into that heavenly insurance policy, we didn't have to worry about a single thing. And I want to see everybody in here in that same position. I see people write statuses on social media all the time about how they need money for this and how this debt is weighing them down and they can't crawl out. And I want to ask you, have you started tithing? Have you been tithing consistently? Those are things that are really going, and listen, you have to step out in faith, okay? The word says that he's not moved by circumstance. That means the Lord can notice that you're hurting and that you're in trouble, but if you don't step out in faith, he has nothing to work with. God works with faith. He doesn't work with hurt feelings. He doesn't work with worry or panic. He works with faith. And he gives you the key to how to do that. It's not praying viciously. It's not asking your pastor for money. It's give me 10%. That's his very specific instruction. And once you unlock that, I promise he will show up. If he shows up for me, and it's not because I'm up here with a microphone, it's because I chose to enter into that heavenly insurance policy. He'll do it for you too. So if you want to stand up, we're going to say our supernatural declaration. Ready me in Deuteronomy 28. I said ready me in Deuteronomy 28. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. Now say I'm blessed. Your tithes and your offerings this morning. If you're watching on live, thank you so much for joining us. If you would like to give, you can text to give at 84321 and type in any dollar amount that you would like to give this morning. You can also go online to histabernacle.com and give there.
Blessings are chasing me down, tripping me up because I
Bless the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. I am excited about this year. It's been a phenomenal year with the Word of God. God's Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What God is doing this year at His Tabernacle Family Church is teaching us that we're built different. Turn to someone and say, I'm built different. I want to remind you that you are the abode of God. What does that mean? The Bible says He does not dwell in places made with hands, but He dwells within you and I. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. What does that mean? That means that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, according to John 3:3, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, going to church does not mean you're going to heaven. What means going to heaven is that you know Christ and have invited Him and surrendered your life to Him. That's why He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So in that, when you get saved, when you give your heart to Christ, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and you bow to Him, for every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that when you've bowed to Him, what that actually means is now He says, I come in and dwell in you. You become the very temple of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit comes and dwells inside of your spirit. Now let's break that down a little bit more. The Bible says that every person is a living spirit. Turn to say, I'm a living spirit. You're a living spirit and you will last for all of eternity. The fact is that every human is going to be eternal. For God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And God created mankind. As we've been created as eternal beings, when Adam and Eve sinned, we then had an opportunity. When Christ, the second Adam, came and paid the price for our eternity, paid the price for our sin, became the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth, we then postured. We have an opportunity to posture ourselves to be eternally alive or eternally dead. You see, a lot of people believe, and I've gone to a lot of funerals and have done a lot of funerals, everybody wants to believe that their loved one went to heaven. Everybody wants to believe that their loved one went to heaven. And everyone wants to think they're going too. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, unless you be born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Which means there is a decision that has to be made. When you are not born again, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you are dead and your trespasses in sin. Well, what is dead? You're walking, you're alive, you're physical. But what dies is your spiritual man. Your spiritual man is not alive until you accept Christ as your Savior. And if your spirit man is not alive, and you can have all the good intentions that you desire, but until you accept Christ as your Savior, your spirit man is dead in your trespasses and your sins, which literally means that you are not going to heaven, but you will live eternal. You'll be eternally damned. God didn't send one soul to hell. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hell's going to regurgitate itself, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. It's going to regurgitate and will be cast into the lake of fire. And all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will also be cast into the lake of fire. What does that mean? That means those who have not asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior are not going to heaven. Their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And therefore, they'll be cast into eternal judgment with the devil and his angels. Not that you and I were created to be cast, but you see, we have a choice. That is the greatest gift, greatest worst gift that God has ever given us, the ability to choose Him or to reject Him. Now, if you choose not to accept Christ as your Savior, and many people have chosen not to accept Christ, there are people that are going to be here today. I'm going to give an altar call. What does that mean? I'm going to give you the opportunity to accept Christ, and you're going to make a conscious decision, not today, not now, I'm not interested, this is not for me. And when you make that decision, you've got to know that it is a decision. And that decision is that you are choosing to be built in the natural, but not in the spiritual. But the consequence will not be just in the natural. It will also be in the spiritual, as you'll be cast into the lake of fire. But for those who accept Christ as their Savior, those who declare that God is the salvation of our soul, those who call upon the name of the Lord and are saved, the Bible says that literally your spiritual man comes alive inside of you. We were just talking about that earlier, spirit and in truth. Come on now, we must worship in spirit. When your spirit is dead, then you also are dead in your trespasses and sin will be cast into the lake of fire. But when your spirit man is alive, you're alive to Christ. Literally, God, Holy Ghost, the one who brooded over the earth at creation, Genesis chapter 1, now dwells inside of you. You are alive, and you are not just alive in this realm, but you're alive in the realm to come, and the realm that is more real than the chair you're sitting on today. And today, you and I, the believers, the sons and daughters of God, if we don't grasp this truth that we are built different, then we will live just like the world lives. We will act just like the world acts. We will think like the world thinks. And the problem with that is then we don't have the answer for the world. You are not here because God needs you to suck air. You are here because you have eternal purpose. There are people that only you can reach for Jesus. There are people that only you will be able to lay hands on and see him recover. There are people that only you are going to be able to plant the seed and that somebody else can bring a harvest with. You are impeccably important to Christ. You are an individual that without you, that people are not going to heaven. We are built different, but if we don't grasp this, then we are going to live like everyone else. That's why this whole month we've been talking about that the house must be built in love. And we know the word of God declares it in the book of Matthew. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we've already talked about, and if you need to, you can go back to the archives, how the house of God and who God is, for God is love, is built on, literally, the edifice of God's house is built on love. And love is not a noun. Can I hear an amen? Love is a verb. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, as a believer, God doesn't just say, I love you. He showed his love. For greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for a friend. And he calls you friends. You see, Christ is after you. Christ is for you. Christ is for the body. And we've got to recognize that we are not the same, that we've got to live out of love. Can I hear an amen? We've got to live out of love. Can I hear an amen? Because when we know God, when we know God, not just know God, but when we know God, then the one who is love, the Bible declares in the book of Galatians chapter 5, it says this, 22 and 23, but the fruit or personality of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The very nature of God is indwelling inside of you. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. You see, we are changed people. We are built different. I just quoted probably about 15 verses to you. That's the word of God. And God's word is that quick and powerful. So you see, you can run and you can hide, but the word is going to start to divide. It's time to recognize that you and I are built different. We've got different shell. We've got a different foundation. And our foundation is built on the love of God. And God said this, they shall know us by our love for one another. We talked last week that you got to love yourself. Actually, 2 weeks ago, Bishop preached last week. You got to love yourself. So many people struggle. Listen, if you're doing nothing for anybody else, but you're only living for yourself, it's proving that you don't love yourself. I'll say it again. If you are doing nothing for God, the very root of your nothingness is that you don't love yourself. Because when you love yourself, you automatically love other people. This is the domino effect of humanity. Love begets love. The seed is in its, the life is in the seed. So when you are in God, come on, can I hear an amen? I didn't say God just in you, but you are in God. A lot of people want to be saved, but few people want Christ to literally save them and live in them. It's one thing to have Christ dwelling in you, the hope of glory, but it's another thing for you to be dwelling in Christ. When we are established on love and we learn to love ourselves, we learn to forgive ourselves, we learn to accept and receive who God has created us fearfully and wonderfully, when we recognize that we are and do belong at the table, when we recognize that we were born for such a time as this, when we recognize that the anointing dwells inside of us, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us, when we recognize who we are in Jesus, then we don't think the same. We don't live the same. Because the moment we recognize our love for ourselves because God the Father loves us, then we automatically got to start loving other people. And this is the quandary that the body of Christ is in. And the quandary is simply that so many people are living their life for themselves and we're trying to acquire all that we can, but you can acquire everything that you want. But the fact is when the casket closes, you can't take it with. Say amen. You can have everything that the world has to offer. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, we've got to get down to understanding that this is not about church. This is not about religion. This is about what God came to create. And God came to create a family. God came to create a household. God came to create a people of God who will do his will on earth as it is in heaven. And when we understand this, then this doesn't become just a religious obligation. It doesn't become, my God, is worship almost done? This doesn't become, man, I'm going to go after worship because I don't like to sing. This doesn't become, man, how long is he going to preach? This doesn't become, wow, I did my thing, I threw George in the plate. This is all about you and I knowing God, living in God, and living in the understanding of why we are here right now. That revelation changes your purpose. With no purpose, you are genuinely lost. A lot of the people of the world, because they're always chasing their tail, trying to get the next thing that's better, they will come to a conclusion, even as the wealthiest people of the world have. Doesn't matter what you acquire, what doesn't matter what you have in the natural, it will not fulfill you. Because your spirit man cannot be fulfilled with natural things. The only way for your spirit man to be fulfilled is that you know the one who created your spiritual man. And the more you know him, the more you're fulfilled. I've watched the people. Listen, I've been doing this for over 33 years. Wow, how long? Wow. Actually, 35 years this year I've been in the ministry. 1987, I graduated. Whew. Wow. I don't want to say elderly, but we might be getting a little close. I've watched people trade Jesus Christ for a man or a woman. I've watched people trade Jesus Christ for liquid. I've watched people trade Jesus Christ for acceptance from people that the moment you stepped away from them, they wouldn't accept you anyways. I've seen people trade Jesus Christ for sex. I watched a man trade Jesus Christ for a computer. Well, what he could view on the computer. I've watched people trade Jesus for the craziest thing, a dollar an hour more on a Sunday morning. Bed. I've watched people trade Jesus for bed. Makes no sense to me. Softball. Baseball. Well, my childs are in sports. Man, your child has less than a 1% opportunity on this planet to become a professional sportsman, and you'll trade Jesus for that less than 1%. Makes no sense. But we're in a position where the church doesn't understand what God and why God built us. He didn't build us because he simply wanted to have a church. He built us because he wanted to have a family. And the family that is established properly then can do the will of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. I want to remind you that the church or the ecclesia, the legislative body of believers on this planet called the church, that our job is simple. Our job is to bring heaven to earth. That God created us for one reason. He said, I want to have more colonization. I want what the unseen has in the seen world. But even because Adam and Eve, they decided to commit high treason, God still had a plan because he wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he sent his son Jesus to die, for the first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life. And those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And when we're saved, we are built different. And when we're built different, we live different, act different, think different, say amen. Amen. When you understand this, then your purpose is real. Your purpose is real. And God wants you to understand you have purpose. And when your purpose is completed, there's no need to be here. Say amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 is our verse for the year, and it says this. Yes, I didn't even do an introduction yet. I was waiting for somebody to say, where is Isaiah? Take it down. Oh, I do want to give a great testimony. Uproar Youth, one-nighters. Wednesday night, they were in Pittsburgh. Thursday night, they were here. Friday night, they were in Rochester. And last night, they were in Boston. They're all over, man, doing one-nighters. Man, they've had some of the greatest crowds. Over 300 people came out down in Pittsburgh. I think they've had up to last night, I don't even know, I didn't talk to them about last night, or 11 young people accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God is moving, and we thank God. Pastor Cody's preaching this morning up in Boston. Amen. So very excited. So this was our verse for the year. So then you are no longer strangers. Turn to someone and say, you're not a stranger, but you are strange. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says this. So then, as we have opportunity, turn to someone and say, I have opportunity because I'm breathing. That's right. Done breathing, done opportunity. So if you got breath, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That means you got opportunity. Can I hear an amen? So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially, turn to someone and say, especially, those who are of the household of faith. We love God, we love ourselves, and we love other people. And the Bible says that the first place that we love is in the house. You take care of family. See, this is the great catastrophe in the kingdom. We no longer see ourselves as family, we see ourselves as religious. And the problem with religion is there's never a connection. It's just obligation. So the diabolical has worked desperately hard to make sure that the disconnect is within the body of Christ. So therefore, there is no family relationships. There are no family mindset and understanding. It is literally just that I go to church. Yeah, what church you go to? Oh, his tabernacle. Oh, you go to that cult? Sorry, I had to say it. It felt good. Everyone else calls us a cult. I might as well just have some fun. So here we are as Christians, by the way, I want to remind you where the word Christian came from. It was not a nice word, it was a cuss word. It came from the city of Antioch, and if you were a Christian, then you were mocked, you were beaten, and you were made fun of. It wasn't a nice word. You weren't, I'm a Christian. Well, 98% of Americans say they're Christians, but they don't know God. They're not built different. And being built different means you're going to love people. Being built different means you're going to love, especially the household of faith. That means you're going to actually get to know somebody. Oh boy, it got quiet in the room. The word household literally means persons who are related by kinship or circumstances and form a closely knit group, members of a household. Now, what I love is that not everybody is blood. I love my blood family. Most of my blood family is actually moved here from New England. Very blessed. My sister, my brother-in-law, probably watching right now. They're going to be moving too, I'm believing. And we're going to have my entire family has moved from New England to here. And for one reason, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in this church. Not because I'm cute. I am cute, aren't I? Come on now. Boy, I'm getting thin, aren't I? I can wear this shirt and not have to wear my wife's bra. I'm good shape. The household is far more than blood. Well, actually, it isn't. The greatest connection is blood, for life is in the blood. And you can have the DNA of another individual on the planet, but until you're born again, you do not have the blood DNA of the Messiah. But when you get saved, there is a change and a transformation that happens in your spiritual man, that happens in your natural man, where the blood of Christ is now surging through your being. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has knit us, has created a household where we are not just strangers to each other, but that we are family.
Well, I don't want any more family. My family's bad enough.
Well, maybe you need a spiritual family then. Because sometimes the spiritual family is far more powerful than the natural family. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The enemy's attacked this strongly. He's attacked this strongly not only in the world, but he's attacked it strongly within the church. If you are 50 years old or older, you're disqualified. You remember neighborhoods. Neighborhoods. The kids hung out together, they played together, they got in trouble together, they blew up mailboxes together. Whoops, did I say that? We did a lot of bad things in my neighborhood. G.I. Joe, America's famous hero. Man, I loved our neighbor, but everybody took care of each other in the neighborhood. And we've watched over the decades, literally the dissection of our neighborhoods. We live next to our neighbors, but we don't know our neighbors. We don't take care of our neighbors. We aren't aware of our neighbors. And you know, it's just because everyone's living separate or everyone's living different. I'm living my own life. I'm living my best life now. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're supposed to be taking care of and loving people. And when we love people, we care more for others than we do even ourselves. Husbands and wives, the Bible says that the man shall love the wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for the church. You see, husbands, if you want a better marriage, you've got to surrender your life, come on now, and you've got to treat your wife in surrender. Amen. Ladies, you missed your moment right there. You missed your moment, and I'm not going to give it to you again. Not going to give it to you again. The church has also had the same situation. Back when I was a child, everybody was your uncle and aunt. Everybody. You didn't know who your real relative was. Everybody was uncle this and aunt this and pastor this and that. And you were just a family. Nowadays, and this is why we, listen now, this is why we had to start groups. What a horrible thing. You had to start a program to get people to love each other again. That don't make sense, does it? But the reason it makes sense is because there is a true diabolical attack, and many times we are ignorant of the devil's devices, and the devil's device has always been the same, divide and conquer. He did it in the garden. He's going to continue to do it now. He's doing it with husbands and wives. He's doing it with children and parents. He's doing it in the churches. He's doing it through offenses. He's doing it through, I just want to take care of myself. I don't want to have to deal with anybody else. Why? You don't love yourself. And until we get back to who we're called to be, we are built just like the world is built. In fact, some bar people are built better than the church. They'll take care of each other better than the church will. But that's not the plan of God. Love is action, not words. I said, love is action and not words. I said, love is action and not words. I remember, they'll probably be here second service, but as you know, Hudson went home to be with the Lord, and I'm sure Pastor Rhonda was the first one to grab the kid when he got up there. But I remember when Hudson was down in New York City, and Bridget called and said, I need you. I need you now. And I looked at my wife and I said, what does that mean? She says, I'm leaving now. And she called Katie and said, Katie, I need you to drive for me. My wife got in the car and they drove, I think, 3.5-4 hours down into the city so that she could go up and just hold the little boy and pray for the little boy down in New York City. And she didn't do it just once. She did it multiple times. When he was in Rochester, she'd go up to Rochester. My wife lived this lifestyle of loving other people. Why? Because it's the nature that was in her, the Christ that she served. It was not an outward show. It was an inward life experience of knowing the Messiah. And when you know the Messiah, you can't just love yourself and keep it to yourself. You got to share that same love with other people. Say amen or oh my. I want you to know the New Testament. This is modeled all the way through the New Testament. Let's look at the first one. Ready? Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the crowd. And this is the verse that Minister McKenzie used. Have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. These folks were with Jesus for 3 days. He could have just said, listen, you know, you guys, you chose to travel. I mean, you chose to listen to my teaching. You know, you could have gone off and had a snack with your family. You know, this is your problem, really. But you see, when you love other people, especially the household of faith, it cannot be just in word. Jesus could have said, well, I feel sorry for these guys. I feel bad for them. They've traveled with me 3 days and they're hungry. There's over 10,000 people here, 5,000 men. But that's only the men, not the women and children. But Jesus was so moved because they loved him, because they loved the word of God, because they loved the teaching of God, because they chose to sit under that anointing, that in the household of faith, he refused to send them away hungry. You see, Christ was not only interested in the spiritual things, he also knew that the natural things were also going to be affected. And in our world that is real and in the flesh that we live, we have a natural life, but we are spirit man. But in our natural life, we have natural problems. We have natural situations that take a natural, come on now, a natural invasion from the supernatural, and that comes through the body of Christ. Am I preaching to myself, or are you there? I heard a gurgle. That's about all I heard. I was Pentecostal when I came in. How about this verse? We know this verse. Matthew chapter 25, 35 through 40. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked. Now, I don't want to see that. And you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer. Who's going to answer him? The righteous. Who's the righteous? Those that are born again. The righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and we gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and you welcomed, and naked and you clothed? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king, everybody shout king. The king will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you have done unto the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. The word brothers there means from the same womb. When you are born again, remember Nicodemus in chapter 3 of the book of John, he said, when Jesus said you must be born again and you cannot enter the kingdom of God, he said, how is it possible that I can enter back into my mother's womb? And he goes, no, you don't understand. This is a spiritual thing. When you became born again, you get into the womb of Christ, and now you've been birthed as sons and daughters, and now you are walking as a household, the family of God, and now as that, Jesus is saying clearly, whatever you've done to the least of these in the womb, you've done to me. See why the separation is so important for the demonic? Because we don't take care of each other. We live our separate lives. We don't feel empathy. We feel compassion for people. Compassion is not action always. Empathy is action. Compassion is an emotion. Well, you can feel sorry for somebody but not help them. James says that. James says if somebody says, listen, I'm hungry, and you go, God bless you, you haven't done anything. But we sit back and we protect our own assets. But when you became born again, you surrendered your assets. When you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you surrendered your assets. You own nothing. You own nothing. You become nothing more than a steward. A steward is not the owner. A steward is one who oversees what the owner has. God never called us to be owners. He called us to be stewards. He did not make Adam and Eve the owner of the garden. He made them stewards of the garden. That's why it's always unique to me when people don't tithe. Because they then have taken ownership of something that is not theirs. When you don't tithe, you're saying, this is mine, not God's. Tithing is far more than money. God don't need your money. Well, the church does. I'm telling you something, God's been our source, and if you don't give, I had a man leave this church one time. He goes, when I leave, this place is going to collapse. I said, baby, it wasn't built on you and doesn't stand on you. Unless the Lord builds a house, the labor's in vain. When that man left, he left with all his arrogance and with his pocketbook. And when he left, the tithes and offerings went up, I'm not lying, $2,000 a week. Why? Because it's not about you and I giving our coins, it's about you and I giving our life. And if we can't give our money, then we can't give our life for what is greater, your money or your soul. Oh. When Jesus hung on the cross, oh, I love this. This came to me. It was like, boom, shazam. Jesus cared so much about family that he made sure his ma was taken care of. John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, where is Jesus? He's hanging on the cross. He just had 5 to 7 inch spikes driven through his wrists. He just had 5 to 7 inch spikes driven through his feet. He's now hanging on a cross as he's been beat with his back was tethered to where you could see his bowels from the exterior. Here's Jesus with a crown of thorns, driven, 2-inch thorns, driven into his skull. Jesus having his beard torn out, spit on, beaten up by 50 Roman guards. He's on the cross. And he looks down, he sees his mother. And he says, someone's got to take care of Ma. John! Do you notice that Jesus had other brothers and sisters? But he didn't call on them? Because they didn't get it yet. John! Here's your mother. Mary! Here's your son. Take care of her. Oh, he's dying on a cross. See, Jesus cares so much about family that he wants to make sure it's not just in the natural, but it's in the spiritual. And in the spiritual, we take care of the household of faith. We take care of each other. Can I hear it? Amen. You see, especially, come on now, we're to be good to all people. We're to show love to all people, but especially the household of faith. And when we start to show that love, all of a sudden something starts to happen, because love begets love. Love grows love, for life is in the seed. And when you give love the seed of love, love is going to come back out. But when you and I, come on now, take care of ourselves, and only take care of ourselves. It's amazing to me. Those are the people who are usually the most tweaked when somebody doesn't come to help them. My favorite, well, thanks for coming to church. My favorite was this guy. He called up one day and he goes, I need the church to help me. I said, okay. What do you need? Well, you know, I'm out of food. So we took care of him for a few months. Literally, he called at the same time because he ran out of his card. In the last month, he calls and he goes, hey, I'm moving this weekend. I need you to send people over, and we're moving. And I said, who are you? Do you come here? No, but you're going to move me whether you like it or not. I said, really? I said, I'm going to make an executive decision. And he said, go to hell. I had to laugh because that's really funny. Tell the pastor to go to hell is the best. He didn't really care about anybody else. He's just trying to take care of himself. Are you just taking care of yourself? You see, if someone needed your help, would you give their help your help? If someone needed $5, would you give them $5? If somebody needed you to show up at the hospital, would you be willing to show up at the hospital, even if it's inconvenient, because it usually is? We get to this place where we live so solitary that we forget what our real job is. They shall know us by our love. Come on now, you know what the world says about the church. You know what the world says about Christians. It ain't usually about love. So what would happen if, as we are built different, we do some reconstruction on our building and take down, oh, come on now, take down our fences, take down our walls, take down, come on now, take down our brick masonry that makes sure we're protected from everybody so we don't get hurt. Come on now, get healthy so you can start giving love to other people, especially the household of faith. God wants you to take care of each other. God wants you to meet each other's needs. Listen, somebody in this room has been blessed with something, and you've got two of them, and you don't need two of them. And someone over here says, I don't even have one of them. Well, I've got two, just in case one breaks. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about? Do we really love people? Do we really love people is the question. The Bible says in the book of Acts 4, 34 through 35, and there was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. See, I told you, it's all about money. What was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they needed, taking care of the family of God. Jesus was sent by the Father to do good. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those that are oppressed of the devil. How about Paul? Paul would go from church to church, and he went to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 through 3. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you shall put aside something and store it up as he may prosper. How many of you want to prosper? All those who say they don't, when it comes time for your raise, reject it. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Well, I deserve more money.
That's called prosperity. It's called increase. If you want to increase, the Bible's telling you how to increase. So that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I'll send those whom you accredited by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. It is clear the heart of God. The heart of God is to take care of other people beside ourselves. And stop being so protective of everything that we have because we don't have anything. So my house is up for sale. I'm so excited. Pastor Rhonda loved that house. I hated that house. Pastor Rhonda loves pools. I hate pools. We had a pool when we lived in Big Flats. We lived there 18 years. We had a pool out back. We had one of those round pools. I was in it one time, and I put on a wetsuit because she said, I forgot to put the chemicals in. So I had to put my wetsuit on to walk around in circles to put the chemicals in. Only time I was in that pool. I was in the pool last year because we bought a heater. And when she wasn't looking, I cranked it up to 99 degrees. 35,000 gallon hot tub. Glory to Jesus. It's the only time my children have ever seen me in the pool. But I don't want to open the pool this year. I want to move. So I'm praying. I'm saying, God, you got to sell your house. Whose house? It's not my house. God, you need to sell your house. If you don't want to sell your house, I mean, I'll live here. But I'd really like you to sell your house. So, and then you can buy another house closer to town so I can torment my children. I learned a long time ago, hanging on tight to the things of the world is just stupid. Because one minute you got it, the next minute you don't. I'm almost done. One more minute. Do you remember when the Corning stock crashed? I was in the room of a man who's now passed. He was the man that helped us actually get the where the Mexican restaurant is. We used to own that building down there. And I remember he was sitting in his chair, and he actually gave me his chair, and it tilted. He was a heavy guy, tilted to one side. I don't know why I threw that in there, but it just felt good. So here I am. I'm in his office, and I'm with him, and he looks at me, and he goes like this. Oh. And he tilted over in his chair. Now, he didn't die, but I think he wanted to. And I said, what's up? I said, are you okay? He goes, I just lost $300,000. I went, what? He said, the Corning stock just dove. He said, I just lost $300,000. He said, that's my retirement. I said, oh. Who would ever think your money would go that quick? Who would ever think your health would go that quick? Who would ever think, come on now, life would go that quick? What you hang on tightly to, you take ownership of. But give it to God. He is always your source. One of the great principles that I've learned through my experience here is to never say, I can't live without them. Why? Because I have to live without them. You see, if who you have in your life you can't live without, or what you have in your life, you can't live without, then your source is wrong. And you've taken ownership and not allowed him to be the owner. You see, for us to be and do what God has called us to do, to be built differently, we've got to have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is that we own nothing, that we've been sent as ambassadors, that we've been sent with purpose, that we've been sent with direction, that we've been sent on assignment, that we've been born for such a time as this, not to suck air and make money and make a few babies, but God has called us to fulfill a divine purpose, because the only thing you can take to heaven is somebody else. And when the body of Christ gets this, then we're going to start loving people the way we're supposed to love them. We're going to love each other. Listen, this is the playground right here. Because you can't love a brother or sister in Christ. There's no way you're going to love somebody outside the house. And seclusion does not allow love. When all that stuff happened, everybody had to go to their house. Don't look at each other. Don't talk to each other. Don't breathe on each other. You breathe, you die. You might die. That's right. Everybody in this room is already terminal. For it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Everybody's already terminal. That wasn't encouraging, was it? The only way that's not encouraging is if you don't know the master. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Come on now. This isn't life, that's life. This is temporary, that's eternal. Come on now. Love is the establishment of eternity on earth through the ecclesia, through the church, through the body of Christ. The world is to experience the true, genuine love of the Messiah. And there's only one way to do that. Jesus chose his church. He chose the brethren. He chose us to love one another. And he chose us to love people that are even unlovable. But if we can't do it here, we'll never do it there. So you've been given cards. Everybody get your card? It's a cool sound, eh? Name. Phone number. Can I just tell you, if you don't want to put your phone number, don't put it. Don't put a fake one on there. People put fake ones on there all the time. You make me laugh. We'll look you up on Facebook. If we wanted to stalk you, we'd look you on Facebook. Name, number. What is your greatest need this month? Groceries, clothing, or other? And the other might be more, most people, we have very few what I would classify as poor people in the house. We have folks on social services, and they get taken care of. And by the way, I want to remind you that social services were only created because the church stopped doing their job. My wife was taught that at Corning Community College when she took sociology. It might be you need godly relationships. You need to join a group. You need to be around people. Maybe you need to be moved. Maybe you need... We had one lady one time, she wrote down and she said, I became disabled and I need a ramp. And the men's ministry, Pastor Banfield and the men went out and they created a ramp for this woman. There's so many things. But I want to start right here. And I want everybody to do one thing. You ready? I want everybody to grab $5. $5. I don't have $5. All I have is $100. Well, glory to God. $5. And this week I want you to give the $5 away. I don't care whom. Ask the Holy Spirit. Who do you want me to give $5 to? It might be somebody here. It might be somebody at work. You want to freak somebody out, pay for their coffee. What do you want? Just want to be kind. Oh, I'm not used to that. Of course not. Because the Christians haven't been doing it yet. Now we're going to do it. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, I got my $5. I'm going to give my $5 away. Some of you can give away more. But I want you to fill that out. Out front, they have little boards. And I want you to, there's tax, huh? Staples? Tape. I want you to tape it there. If you don't want anybody to know, and well, but you got to let people know, because how can they help you unless they know? Somebody's going to have something you need. Amen. And you know what? You just fill it out, put it on the board, and let somebody meet your need. Well, I don't like this person. That's the person you want to meet their need. Do good to those who despitefully use you. That's the Bible says. I've gotten gifts before, and I said, I know why I got that one. They don't like me. I want to start doing this right here. Is that okay? We are built different. We've got to love one another, especially the household of faith. We need to take care of one another. Somebody might need a bed. Somebody might need a bureau. Somebody might need a refrigerator. Somebody might need you to wash the dishes. Somebody might need a job. You got jobs available. Listen, if you get hired by somebody in this church and you're a slug, you need a whooping. As a Christian, you should be the best worker they have. Amen. This is where we start. It's got to start somewhere, right? This is where we start today. Fill that out. Well, I don't need anything. Awesome. Then you pick something off the board. And let's start loving one another. If you're not part of a group, my question is, why are you not part of a group? I don't have time. You don't have time not to be part of a group. You're going to die soon. What do you mean I'm going to die soon? It might be 40 years. But if you're 40 years old, you realize how quick 40 years went. I heard a lot of amens on that one. Boy, it goes by fast. We got to love one another. Can you turn to the person next to say, I got to love people. Tell somebody this, I want to be like Jesus. I want to love people. Say this with me out loud. I love God. I love myself. And I love people. Especially the people of the household of faith. Father, I thank you that we are a family. I thank you, God, that you're reestablishing your biblical principles. I thank you, God, that the devil did not win. He could not deceive. He could not distract us, but that we are back on track. We are built different because we are your house. So, God, we will love one another. And Lord, it's going to create problems for us. Because it's going to mean we're going to have to get out of our comfort zones. It's going to mean that we're going to have to lose a Saturday maybe to help somebody. But God, we know this, that if we love the way you love, when we get to heaven, that you have rewards for us, awards for us, crowns for us. Lord, all those things that I've been watching, Lord, people have had those out-of-body, those near-death experiences. The one thing that I've constantly heard, Lord, is that you ask them what they did with the life you gave them. And I pray, Jesus, that we will not say, well, I lived it for myself. But we will say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives through me. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I already explained what it's about. Right now, if you're not born again, your spirit man is dead. If you're watching online, your spirit man is dead. You need Christ, the blood of Jesus, to wash your sins away. You need to become part of the family of God, the household of faith, a citizen of heaven. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ, you can't join this church. We don't have a membership here. But you need to be a member of the house of God. Today, if you need Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Thank you very much on this side. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Come on now. I'm not going to wait long. Five. Come on. Get your hand up. Remember I said earlier, some of you are going to make conscious decisions to reject God before this day is over. Four. Get your hand up. Three. Two. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. If you raise your hand for salvation, Who do I have over here? Come on over here, baby girl. You ready? She's right here. If you raise your hand for salvation, or maybe you didn't, but you, man, you feel God just churning inside of you. You know you got to get right with Jesus before this day is over. I want you to make your way up right up here. She's going to pray with you. We got Bibles for you. We want to encourage you and strengthen you. It's not just how you start, it's how you finish. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to finish strong. Pastor Rhonda finished strong. She finished in faith. She fought a good fight of faith. She finished the race. She's with Christ now. She's enjoying the present. I'm a little jealous, to be honest with you. She did. But I'll tell you something. When I get there, I'm not only going to embrace her, but I'm going to embrace the Master. And I want to hear those same words. Well done, son. Well done. I'm popping a button because you're my kid on earth. Show me up. Come on now. You're showing me out. You're showing me alive. You're showing me real. Everybody got your $5? Here you go. Ready? Pray with me real quick. Ah, Pastor, you've gone so long. Ah, you'll live. What else you going to do? Go feed your belly? Take your $5. I want to pray over it. Father, Lord, this is just paper. And in America, we know it's just paper. We thank you, God, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit can penetrate paper, that the anointing is tangible and transferable. God, whoever we give this to, whomever Holy Spirit you direct us to give this to, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll break bondages in their life, that you'll draw them to you, Christ, that you'll heal their hearts, that you'll heal their bodies, that God, that this won't be just $5, but it'll be paper saturated with the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. God, as we fill out those pieces of paper and stick them out there, we thank you we're going to be able to help people. God, there's no greater thing than knowing that our life has helped change somebody else's life. Lord, I pray for those who want to just take advantage. I pray such great conviction that, Lord God, they won't even be able to put their name up there. They're going to help somebody rather than try to get help. Lord, turn that poverty mentality. I rebuke the spirit of poverty in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of spiritual poverty. And I declare, God, blessing for your name's sake. And everybody in agreement said? Amen. I love you. Have an awesome week. Please keep my family in prayer. We're heading down to Florida to go spread Pastor Rhonda's ashes on the beach where she is going to remain until the resurrection.